everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 314. 314 in your hymn book. My happy soul rejoices, the sky is bright above. I join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. 314 on the page 303, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight as a band of thy people to praise thee and to thank thee for the Saviour's precious blood. We thank thee, O God, for that precious blood that was shed freely for us upon Calvary's cross. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for that fountain that was opened up for sin and for all uncleanness. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight as thy people, we can rejoice in the power and the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. For Lord, thou hast assured us in thy word that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank thee for that joy tonight, of that as thy people, the joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven, our sins pardoned, blotted out through the blood of the cross. We have been redeemed. Not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight as thy people in the goodness and in the grace of God toward us. Realize, O God, that we were undeserving of the very least of thy mercies. O Lord, we deserve wrath and judgment and condemnation for our sins. Yet, O God, we thank thee that thou hast been merciful unto us. Thou hast been kind to us. Thou hast showed upon us and showered upon us thy love and thy mercy and thy grace. And truly, O God, tonight we can say we are debtors, Lord, to thee and to thy goodness and grace and to thy so great salvation. And O God, as we come before thee this evening hour, we pray for the blessing of the Lord to be upon us and to be our portion. We pray, O God, that we might know a gracious, conscious sense of thy presence, of thy nearness, and being our portion tonight. We realize it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. Do create within us a clean heart, renew within us a right spirit. Prepare our hearts this night to meet with thee. And grant, Lord, that we would know and hear thy voice speaking to us through thy word, that still small voice that is of God. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless us around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We rejoice tonight that thou art upon the throne and that thou art a prayer hearing, a prayer answering God. And Father, we thank thee that thou art more willing to give even than we are to ask. Bless all who have gathered with us here this evening. We thank thee for every head bowed in thy presence, every home, family represented. Meet the need of all our homes and our families. Unite our family circles in the Lord. And Lord, bless us each one tonight. May we go home rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with thee. May we go home with that fresh spring in our step, as it were, as the people of God. And that thou would help us day by day as thy people to put on the whole armor of God and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. We thank thee, Lord, that thy grace is sufficient for our every need, and that thou hast promised, O God, to supply all our needs out of thy riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Remember any who cannot join with us tonight because of age, sickness, or infirmity. Lord, bless them, minister to them by the grace of God divine. Remember others tonight who have suffered loss in recent times. Do comfort their hearts and be their helper and be their strength, O God, we pray. Remember also others who may be joining with us online tonight. Bless them, minister to them by the grace and by the power of God, and be their helper and be their strength as thou would see their need. We thank thee for the meeting tonight, O God, in Tresna, for all the boys and girls in under the sound of thy word. Bless thy word to their hearts. May it live on in their hearts and lives, we pray. And we pray that early in life, each of these children will come to know the Lord, to trust the Lord, to follow the Lord, and to grow up to serve the Lord. Bless the homes and the families from which they come from. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless there also and unite these family circles in the Lord. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, we pray. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed across our land, our nation tonight, gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time, we thank thee, O God, for every special effort in the gospel. And Lord, thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. And Lord, we would claim that promise tonight, O God. And Father, bless the going forth of thy word in these days, we pray, and that many might come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. Bless us now, we pray. Do us good as we further wait on in thy presence. Outpour thy spirit upon us, and in everything that is said and done tonight, glorify our Savior, in whose name we pray and ask all these things, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 165. 165. It's on the page 244. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. 165, standing as we sing. Stand as we sing.
Oh.
We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the book of Revelation, to the final book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2. I want to read some verses with you from the middle of this chapter, just beginning at the verse number 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. While you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered. I pray the Lord will bless you around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. And we welcome also those who may be joining online as well, that they too will know the blessing of the Lord. Remember the meetings over the week. Do pray for them. The Friday night, the children's meeting here, 6:30. Youth fellowship at 8 p.m. Do remember the open-air gospel witness as well on Friday morning. A slight change of time, 11:15, just in the square in the town. Brother Colin and myself, do remember that in your prayers. If you're in the town, join with us. And then the services here on the Lord's Day, Sunday school Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon. And then do remember the special Remembrance Night service on the Lord's Day evening at 7 p.m. Be much in prayer for that and make it known. And again, give out the wee invites and encourage, invite others in under the sound of God's Word. Also, I think I did mention last week that there's a book table last Saturday by Beulah Bookshop down at Clogher Valley Church. Well, I was a week too early. Apologies about that. It's actually this week, the 12th. So if you're free and want to go along and do a bit of Christmas shopping, whatever, that book table, I understand, is the Beulah Bookshop from Kilkeel or from Newcastle, or Brother Ian Campbell. And it's in Clogher Valley Church Hall from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. So just do take a note of that also, please. Thank you. We're going to turn then to God's Word. Revelation chapter 2 and the verse number 8. Let us hear God's word as we read it together. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. Entering a reading there, verse 11. May the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading of his precious and holy and infallible word. The little text of scripture I want us just to think about tonight before we go down to prayer. It consists just of 5 words, and you find it there really in the latter part of verse 10 of that chapter. It says, be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. Now in our Bible reading here tonight, the Lord is addressing the church at Smyrna. Smyrna was one of 2 churches in Asia Minor which did not receive a rebuke from the Lord, that other church being the church at Philadelphia. Now, this passage here of Scripture before us has been given the title, Words of Cheer from a Reigning Savior to a Suffering Church. Mention here is made in particular of Christ being alive in verse 8 of the chapter. For it says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last which was dead and is alive. And of course that is a reference to Christ who had risen from the grave the 3rd day. He who is alive forevermore. And this is a great thought that is presented to the suffering church, that their Savior Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Yes, the living Savior is one who is over all. In other words, he is sovereign over all. For in verse 8, he is referred to there as the first and the last, the altogether sufficient one, the sovereign one. This living Savior we see as one who knows all things regarding this church. For in verse 9, the Lord says, I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty. The Lord knew all about them and their needs. This living Savior is also one who estimates and sees all things. For again, there in verse 9 of the chapter, he speaks further to these believers. He says, I know that thou art rich. Yes, they were poor materially, but here were a band of God's people who were rich spiritually. They were rich in faith. This living Savior is one also who foresees all things. He knows the future. For he said to these Christians here in verse number 10, he says, ye shall have a tribulation. But he is also a living Savior who limits all things. For he says there in verse 10 that their tribulation would only be for 10 days. God's restraining hand would be upon this tribulation that was to come against this church. And then we see something else here. The living Savior has cheering words for his tried saints. For he says there in verse number 10 of the chapter, he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And then we see also that this living Savior, he promises everlasting life and everlasting glory to his tried people and heaven itself. At the end of verse 10, he says to them, I will give thee a crown of life. And then in verse 11, at the end of that verse, it says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And the second death there refers to hell, to judgment, God's punishment, the place of God's punishment for sin. But this was something that would not affect these believers. They were saved from it. They were delivered from it. They would have no hurt by or through the second death. Yes, they were twice born, and they would live forevermore with the Lord in heaven, and they would enter into glory. And then we see here also how the Lord, in connection with this great promise of life evermore, he gives these people a specific command. That command is in the words of our text tonight. When he says, be thou faithful unto death. Yes, God is one who is faithful to his own people, to his church, and in turn he exhorts here his own people to be faithful to himself also. He says, be thou faithful unto death. This exhortation, yes, it applied to every single member in this church at Smyrna. It applied to the pastor, to the angel, to the minister that is addressed there at the beginning of verse 8. But it also applied to every brother, every sister in Christ, young and old, in the church at Smyrna. And brethren and sisters in Christ, not only did that exhortation apply to the believers in the church at Smyrna in the day of the Apostle John, but it is an exhortation that equally applies to you and I also tonight. As the Lord would speak to us in this meeting tonight through his word, he comes to our hearts, he comes to our souls, and he says, be thou faithful unto death. Remember in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, a great book for every Christian to read and to study, and how the emphasis was there to Pilgrim to be faithful, how he met Mr. Faithful, and how the believer is to be faithful, as it says here, be faithful unto death. Yes, until the Lord calls us home to heaven and to glory, to that place where the second death cannot hurt us or cannot harm us. We are to be faithful in our Christian witness and in our Christian life for God. And friends, tonight I just want us to think upon this matter of being faithful to the Lord. What does it mean for you and I as Christians then to be faithful to the Lord? Well, as Christians we can say, first of all, that we are to be faithful to God's truth. In other words, this means just upholding the teachings of the Bible. We're not to depart from the teaching of the Scriptures. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, it says there, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And there Paul was writing to the believers in Thessalonica, exhorting them to stand fast to the word of God. And that equally applies to us. We're to be faithful to the word of God. We're not to depart from the Scriptures. It was Martin Luther who said, before the word, everyone must give way. Yes, it means us holding to the Scriptures, the teaching of the Scriptures, but also being faithful to God's truth means us defending God's word. It means us upholding God's word whenever it is attacked and maligned by the skeptic or by the ungodly. That was the case with the Apostle Paul, for he said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. The hymn writer could say, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word. And my being faithful to God's truth means us holding to the teaching of Scripture. It means us defending the teaching and upholding the teaching of Scripture. Also, we can say further, being faithful to God's truth means us doing all we can to spread the truth of God's word in every direction and among all kinds of people. And again, that was the testimony of the church at Thessalonica. Turn in your Bibles back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and look at the verse number 8 of that chapter, and you'll see there that that was the testimony of this church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8. Paul is addressing this church and he says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also at every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. He says, from you sounded out the word of God. It sounded out abroad among many other peoples and lands and nations. And child of God, yes, as individual believers and as a church, we must ever be sowers of the word of God. We must ever be those who spread the word of God, as the Bible says, even among all nations. Yes, as Christians, we're to be faithful to God's truth. But then secondly, we can say further that as Christians, we are to be faithful to our profession of faith. We are to be faithful to our profession of faith. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That word conversation means our whole manner, our whole way of life. In other words, our life, our words, our actions, our attitudes are to match up to our profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's people. Turn in your Bible over to the little book of Titus, and to the chapter 2. And just look here at what Paul says to God's people regarding this matter. In other words, the outworking of their Christianity in their life day by day. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 7, he says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And then go down to the end of verse number 10. He says that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Verses 11 and 12, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 14 says of Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, it says there, zealous of good works. That speaks of us, yes, being faithful to our profession of faith. Sadly, in this world, yes, there are many people and they profess Christianity on a Sunday, but during the rest of the week, their life does not match up to what they profess, and the result is harm is done to the work of God, to the witness of Christ. My brethren and sisters in Christ, we are not to be like that. As Christians, we're to live godly lives, God-honoring lives, not just on the Lord's Day, but throughout the week, in our home, in the workplace, in the community, wherever we are. It has been said there is no higher compliment that can be paid to a Christian than to call them the godly. And you think of what the Shunammite said of Elisha of old. She said, I perceive that thou art an holy man of God. Now think of Peter and John. It says of the ungodly that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. In other words, their life told for God. And my, their life was an outward profession of their faith. And as Christians, we are to be faithful to what we profess to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be faithful to God's truth, faithful to our profession of faith. Also, as Christians, we are to be faithful to God's will and to God's cause. Ephesians 6 verse 4 talks there about the Christian servant and says, doing the will of God from the heart. And that applies to all of us who are saved. In this life we are to do God's will. My, we're not here, as it were, to serve our own wills or our own ambitions. No, we're here to serve the Lord, and we're here to do the will of God. You think about that, Christian, that was ever the testimony of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth. He could say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He was ever about his Father's business. Turn with me back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 26. Here we have the Savior praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. Look at verse number 39 of that chapter. It says of Christ, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And of course, Christ was perfectly subservient to the will of God, his Father. Brethren and sisters in Christ, God's will is good. God's will is perfect. It's always for our good. It's always for God's glory. Therefore, in every situation, in every circumstance of life, let us pray for grace to be faithful in doing the will of God for our lives and serving the Lord and doing what God wants us to be. No better place for us to be as Christians than to be in the will of God, in the center of God's will. Furthermore, we can say as Christians, we are to be faithful in witnessing to the unsaved. Turn back there to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look there at the verse number 8. And look at what Christ says here to the disciples before he was taken up into heaven, before he was taken up into glory. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me through the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you and I also are to be witnesses for Christ. We're to witness to sinners. We are to warn them of the danger of their sin and the danger of a lost eternity in hell. Also, we're to tell them of the mercy that God has provided for them in a way of salvation through faith in the person and in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Indeed, that was the testimony of John the Baptist. Remember how he spoke to the Jews and he says, flee from the wrath to come. He reminded them of the wrath to come, of judgment, of hell, of punishment for sin. Yet we also read of John the Baptist in John 1 verse 29, speaking to the Jews, and he cried out, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He warned them of sin, of judgment, but he also pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, who could take away their sin and save them from their sins. That is what we are to do as well in this life, in witnessing for Christ. Warn of sin, warn of the judgment for sin, but at the same time, point sinners to the only remedy from sin. And that remedy is in Christ, and by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter who we meet, no matter how far down in sin that person may be, no matter how far away from God that person may be, if God causes our path to cross the path of that individual, we have a responsibility to witness to them, to speak to them about the Lord, about their need of salvation, about their need of Christ. Remember what John Wesley, the preacher, said of a bygone day. He said, 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. And that's our responsibility, to witness to others that we come in contact with day by day in our life. But then one final thought tonight in connection with our text. We can say also as Christians, we are to be faithful to God's people, faithful to the children of God. Yes, whenever a believer backslides and goes astray into sin, into Bypath Meadow, as believers with wise words, with gracious counsel, and indeed with fervent prayer, we're to seek their restoration again to the ways of God. Turn over there to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. Look at verse 1, and that speaks there of the restoring the erring one. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." My, when we meet with a believer maybe who's drifted away from the Lord, we're not to discount them, no, we're to pray for them. We're to encourage them back into the ways of God. We're to be gracious with them. It says they're considering thyself, lest thou be also tempted. Yes, when a man or a woman, a believer, backslides away from the Lord, we're to do what we can through God's help to lead them back to the shepherd, lead them back to the Savior. Also, whenever a believer is hurting, whenever a believer is mourning, we're to do all we can as Christians to soothe their sorrows and to calm their fears. That's our ministry as Christians. You remember what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica? He said, "Wherefore comfort one another," with these words. They were to comfort one another. Again, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, as also you do." They were to comfort, encourage, and help one another in their times of need. You think of Barnabas tonight. We read of him in the scriptures. He's known as the son of consolation. He was an encourager. And that's to be our ministry amongst God's people, helping those who are hurting, those who are mourning, those who are grieving amongst the people of God. Do what we can to edify them, to encourage them, and to comfort them in the ways of God and in the things of Christ. Yes, we're to seek the restoration of the backslider, seek the comfort of those who mourn in Zion. And then also as believers, we're to help those fellow believers who are in need. We're to do all we can to help them and to supply their needs. That was the testimony of the church at Philippi. Turn in your Bible over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And look at what Paul said here to these believers and their ministry towards him and to others that were in need. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." They ministered to the needs of Paul and others, laboring in the work of God and the cause of Christ, others who were in need. And brethren and sisters in Christ, this is to be our testimony as well as God's people, ministering to the needs of our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever way we can as the people of God. This is to be our constant ministry. Our text here tonight says, "Be thou faithful," it says, "unto death," until we breathe our last breath as Christians. We are to be faithful unto the Lord. And when death comes, the Lord will call us home to heaven. And there, as it says in our text tonight, we shall receive a crown of life. And there we shall receive the Lord's commendation. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Oh, as the Lord has been faithful to you and I in our Christian life, as we look back over our life since the time we were saved, let us thank God for his faithfulness. The Bible says God is faithful. But likewise, by God's grace, by God's strength, by God's enablement, help us, may God help us and enable us to be faithful until Jesus comes or until he calls us home to glory. Be thou faithful. That's to be our ministry here on earth in this scene of time. May God bless his word and these thoughts to our hearts this evening. We'll turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 107. 107 on the page 219 of your hymn book. "Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Help me, dear Saviour, thee to own and ever faithful be. And when thou sittest on thy throne, O Lord, remember me. This was the burden of the hymn writer. And to be faithful to the Lord, oh, may it be our burden also as we sing this great hymn tonight. 107, we'll stand as we sing. We get down just to our time of prayer. Just a few prayer requests I'd like to leave with you. Do pray for the services over the weekend, the Sunday school, Bible class, youth fellowship, children's meetings, and